Take a course or buy a product, all you have to do is change your mind. Turning pro is free, but it's not without cost. When we turn pro, we give up a life with which we may have become extremely comfortable. We give up a self that we have come to identify with and to call our own. We may have to give up friends, lovers, even spouses. Turning pro is free, but it demands sacrifice. The passage is often accompanied by an interior odyssey whose trials are survived only at great cost, emotionally, psychologically, and spiritually. We pass through a membrane when we turn pro. It hurts. It's messy and it's scary. We tread in blood when we turn pro. Turning pro is not for everyone. We have to be a little crazy to do it or even to want to. In many ways, the passage chooses us. We don't choose it. We simply have no alternative. What we get when we turn pro is we find our power. We find our will and our voice, and we find our self-respect. We become who we always were, but had until then been afraid to embrace and to live out. Do you remember where you were on 9/11? You'll remember where you were when you turned pro. 3. My life as an amateur. When I was in my 20s, I lived for a winter in a boarding house in Durham, North Carolina, that served as a halfway station for patients emerging from state mental hospitals. I wasn't a mental patient myself, but the law of metaphor had brought me to this place as surely as if I had been. The people in the halfway house were by no means crazy. They were as interesting and complex a collection of individuals as I had ever met. I made friends. I found a home. We did a lot of talking in the evenings in the halfway house. We gathered over coffee in the communal kitchen and talked about books and politics and whether aliens were really messengers from the future or from God. I was the only one in the halfway house who had a job. I was making $1.75 an hour in the body shop of a trucking company, training to become an over-the-road trucker. Everyone else in the halfway house got a check from the state. Social workers appeared from time to time to evaluate the people in the halfway house, to check on their progress, and to counsel them in their reintegration into society and the real world. I began to wonder how I came to be in this house with these people. Why did I feel so at home? Was this my destiny? Then one night, I had a dream. In the dream, I came into my room and found that my shirts had all folded themselves in the drawer, instead of being mashed together in their usual jumbled mess. My boots had crawled out from under the bed where I normally kicked them when I took them off, and had set themselves upright and tidy. They had shined themselves. When I woke up, I thought, I'm ambitious. I have ambition. I didn't tell anyone in the halfway house about the dream. In fact, I haven't told anyone to this day. I kept the dream private. It was my secret. It took me a long time to come to terms with the idea that I had ambition. I felt guilty about it. Who was I to aspire to rise above my brothers and sisters or to aim to be better than anyone else? In the halfway house, the dominant emotion was fear. No one ever spoke of it, but fear pervaded every centimeter of that space. Everyone in the house had, in his or her own way, experienced the disintegration of their personality. Everyone had fallen a long way, fallen hard, and fallen alone. Everyone in that house had looked their own annihilation in the face, and it had scared the hell out of them. I decided that I had to leave the halfway house. I found a cinder block cabin along a highway in the country that rented for $15 a week. I still have a photo of that house. The house had no electricity, no toilet, no running water, and no heat. It had a front door, but no back door. There were no windows and no furniture. I slept on a mattress that I pushed into a corner where the rain couldn't reach it. I cooked my meals outdoors and back over a fire of pine kindling that I collected from the woods. I had started driving for the trucking company by then. I was being assigned my first loads and sent out on the road for the first time, so it didn't matter too much where I called home. Most nights I slept in the truck sleeper berth. I ate my meals in cafes and truck stops on the road. The reason I keep a photo of that house is that it changed my life. To find that house and to move into it was my first act as an adult that embraced the idea of ambition.